Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Good morning. It's time for Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. This program will improve the quality of your life through a system called resonance repatterning. And now, here's your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth.
Welcome to Living in Tune, Turn Your Problems into Joy. This week, I'll be talking with chiropractor Dr. June Leslie Weeder, who has done some interesting research on using sound to support health and well-being, and in particular, how to use tuning forks on the spine to balance the nervous system. Today, we'll look at the history of sound healing since ancient times and how we can use sound and tuning forks on our own spine to help ourselves. Now, I always like to give our new listeners a quick introduction to resonance repatterning, which this show is all about, before we go into our interview. I started to develop resonance repatterning about 1989, 1990, and this system of self-healing, which is now spread around the world with practitioners in many countries, gives us the tools for transforming our unconscious patterns, which manifest as any problem we face in life, whether in wrinkles or overweight, health challenges or difficulties in our career and with money, or conflict and disharmony in our personal relationships. As new physics has proven, everything is a pulsing field of energy, and that includes our thoughts, feelings, body, conflicts, and joys. Our unconscious patterns are frequencies that are out of sync, what we call non-coherent, and through resonance, these non-coherent frequencies attract what is out of sync, what we call a problem. So problems are simply an opportunity to improve the state of our pulsing field of frequencies. When our frequencies are in sync or coherent, we attract or resonate with what is in sync or coherent. Health, joy, inspiration, connection in our relationships, a sense of belonging, self-confidence to do whatever is important to us. So resonance repatterning identifies our out-of-sync frequencies and the exact self-healing modalities we need in order to bring these frequencies back into sync so we can resonate with what is truly life-giving once more. Today, June will talk more in depth about one of our resonance repatterning modalities, tuning forks and sound. Whether you're a practitioner of resonance repatterning or someone who's interested in your own self-healing, you can use tuning forks, as you will discover today, to tune yourself, to keep your sound frequencies tuned for health and well-being. I won't be doing a resonance repatterning session today, as we'll need all the time we have for talking about the song of the spine. So it's great pleasure having Dr. June Leslie Weeder with us today to introduce us to a new way of looking at how we can achieve health. Welcome, June, to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Are you there on the air?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, Chloe.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. And, you know, June, I love the title of your book, The Song of Your Spine. Perhaps a great place to begin is, what does this title mean to you? How did you come to name your book?
Well, it really sang to me, Chloe. The title just sang to me, and recently I was at a family gathering, and my cousin was there, and she said, when you were a child, you said the spine had a song. So unconsciously, or subconsciously, I had known that for many, many years.
Oh, interesting, isn't it?
And then I was introduced to holographic or resonance repatterning many, many years ago.
Yes, isn't that fascinating? You were studying it when we called it holographic repatterning.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was just so fascinated, Chloe, that there was something out there that was just so comprehensive and so specific into changing frequencies.
Yes. And had you actually been into tuning forks and frequencies before you were introduced to holographic repatterning?
No. No.
No, so...
That was the first time I was really working with tuning forks.
Wow. Yeah. So we got you moving on something that you knew you wanted to do ever since childhood, it looks like.
Yes.
Isn't that fascinating, isn't it? Lovely. Now, in your book, Song of the Spine, you quote Novalis, an 18th century German poet, who wrote that each illness is a musical problem, the healing a musical solution.
I love that quote. It's just so powerful.
Yes.
Each illness is a musical problem. So as a chiropractor and musician, you've done quite a bit of research on the power of sound to heal. Could you talk a little about this ancient history of sound healing? And we know it goes back to Pythagoras, 582 BC, and even beyond that.
Yes. Well, about 6,000 years ago, there were doctrines found, Sumerian and Taoist doctrines found that dates back over 6,000 years.
Mm.
And in those doctrines, they found that the idea that harmony exists everywhere,
yeah.
Including the heavens.
Mm.
And in ancient Egypt, the precursor to Pythagoras was Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
And Hermes was both known as a god, and the Egyptian god, and he was also known as a prophet. And actually, Pythagoras, who had studied Hermes' principle, found one of the most famous Hermetic principles, and he states this, as above, so below. So these texts that survived, it describes that music is actually carried from, the cosmic energy of music is carried from the heavens and the tones are carried down to earth.
Hmm. So it's extraordinary because actually in every religious tradition you have the same thing.
Right.
You know, the word, which is basically the frequency, the divine frequency
exactly.
that initiates the whole of creation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like spiritually everything is sound.
Yes, it's
sound
all formed
life.
From sound.
Yes. So now, it seems that musical instruments and toning or chanting were used for dispersing negative energies and for restoring the natural harmony of the body, and that for healing we need to connect our consciousness to the cosmos. So physical problems then were really seen as spiritual in their origin, weren't they? A problem of being separate from the cosmos. What does this mean for you?
Well, again, it goes back, as above, so below, that we are connected, our energies are connected to the cosmos. And if there is disharmony in the cosmos, that can trickle down to the earth. So that we're all connected. Our physical body is connected to the spiritual body, to the emotional body, and that all of us are connected to the cosmic energy of the heavens.
Yeah. So really, when we do those things that disconnect us from that cosmic sound, we're going to have illness.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
any disconnection
to the source.
Say that again?
Any disconnection to that great source, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yes.
Will cause an illness.
Yes. So it's fascinating, isn't it, in terms of new physics and what we do in resonance repatterning, that we're all part of that sea of consciousness, and if our frequencies are out of sync, then we attract what we resonate with from the sea of infinite possibilities. Or the ancients, of course, called it our connection to the cosmos, but new physics calls it the sea of infinite possibilities of which we're all a part.
And as we can see, the ancients and quantum physics, there's that beautiful connection, that we're all part of everything.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Ha. Huh.
And I love how resonant repatterning really zoned in on all of that.
Yes, that it's all through resonance.
Mm-hmm.
You can only attract from the cosmos what you're putting out.
Exactly.
So what instruments help this alignment of our energies and positive connection, and how do they benefit a person's sickness?
Well, there's many different types of instruments, of course, that give these sound vibrations. And, for example, there's Tibetan bowls that's made up of seven different metals that are in alignment with the seven inner planets of our solar system. And so we use Tibetan bowls, and that can help ground us, and chimes can help disperse negative energy and lighten up dense energy fields. And the Aborigines use didgeridoos to help ground us. And to get one into an altered state or a dream state.
And what's a didgeridoo? I think some people may not even know what a didgeridoo is.
It's a hollowed out tree, and you use a very specific breath. What is that breath called? It's a circular breath, actually, in a didgeridoo. So it's a hollowed out tree. It's wood from a hollowed out tree that the Aborigines used.
Yes.
And they created this with a special breath. Called a circular breath, and it creates this very, very deep resonant sound.
Yes, I have a didgeridoo in my living room, And it's amazing because you actually keep the sound going without a single break.
Right. That's what the circular breathing is.
Yes. And it's an extraordinary sound that it comes out of this huge, 7 foot long hollowed out branch. Yes, and drums, of course.
Of course, the drums basically, drums have been used to help get our heartbeat into sync. With the earth has a beat and our heart obviously has its beat, and so the drums are used to get our heartbeat back into sync with the earth.
Yes, so everything is rhythm and sound.
Everything.
Yes. Now, is there any modern research that proves the benefits of these sounds scientifically?
Well, I'm going to go to one of the most recent researchers, Dr. Jim Jasinski from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was actually he found that vibrating yeast cells, when there's a sickness in a person, and he used all these different kinds of cells,
mm-hmm.
but he specifically worked with some yeast cells and found that when one is sick, that these cells vibrate at a much slower rate,
mm-hmm.
and they're more rumbling in their sound.
Mm-hmm.
And he called this technique sonocytology, which used as a diagnostic tool to check in the sound of our cells.
Yes.
So that's some research. And also there was research done back in the 70s about drumming. And what some of this research, the results of this research has shown that these instruments and these sounds increase endorphins,
mm-hmm.
increase our alpha brainwave state, which helps with more creativeness and a relaxed brain.
Mm-hmm.
A relaxed
also
state.
Probably the place of healing, the alpha brainwave
yes.
state.
Yes. Yes, that's where healing can occur. And it decreases some of the stress hormones, such as cortisol.
Mm. Yes, it's interesting because I heard that Jill Peirce, who's well known in the field of alternative energy medicine, and she uses, of course, harmonic overtoning, that she did a research project with Alzheimer patients where they just went in for 10 weeks and they would do, each week, they'd come and do harmonic overtoning with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they found it definitely helped them, that there was gradual improvement. And by the end of the 10 weeks, the elderly were, the Alzheimer and people with dementia were actually joining in and doing harmonic overtones and making connection once more. So it is amazing that they are showing what's happening here.
Yeah.
Now, so all these sounds have a fundamental note. You know, there's la, that would be called a fundamental note. And then in harmonic overtones, you have then the overtones of that note. And I'd like to talk about this with you. Maybe I can just demonstrate for our listeners. I don't know. We'll see if they can actually hear it over this little speaker I've got, where I'll just be toning one note, the harmonic, and see if you can hear these almost high whistling sounds, which are the harmonic overtones that are going on with every sound has its harmonic overtones. And then we'll talk about the relationship between this fundamental note and healing through the harmonic overtones. So let me see if I can demonstrate this. Did you hear any harmonics there?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah. So, maybe after this break, June, we can just go a little bit more into the fundamental note and these harmonic overtones.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. We'll be back in a minute.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, hosted by Reiki Master Phyllis Lei Forimoto, brings to the Seventh Wave Network this worldwide human art form. Join Phyllis every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time as she shares her experiences from around the globe and helps you to understand the effects of living in conscious relationship with the energy of Reiki. Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. If you want to create positive change, call Chloe now at 866-472-5795. That toll-free number again is 866-472-5795. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
So, just before the break, I was demonstrating harmonic overtones where I was just singing one note called the fundamental note, and that you could probably hear these harmonic overtones, these kind of high whistling sounds above. And so, June, talk to us about the fundamental note and the harmonics and what's doing the healing, and can you tell us something about that?
Okay. Well, in my I did some muscle testing with tuning forks, and what I want to say is I tested a lot of the fundamentals. Actually, it was all the fundamentals. Basically, the bass note, like, for example, I had 130.81 tuning fork, mm-hmm. and I used that. That was my C, 128 to 130.
Okay, so every note then is basically measured in cycles per second or hertz.
Right.
And the note of C then is 131 roughly cycles per second.
Right, and if you go to the piano, that would be middle C.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be right below middle C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it would be the note below middle C.
Oh, the note of B.
Of C.
Okay.
And then when you play that note, you get to hear the higher frequencies of that fundamental, which is if it's 130, then you would double that frequency to 260,
mm-hmm.
520, and so on and so forth.
Yes, so you were hearing the next octave of the note of B.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so when I muscle tested, what I found with these tuning forks is that I would get a very, very strong response when I put the tuning forks onto the bones with that frequency, and then I would take tuning forks, for example, I would take C of higher frequencies, the 256 and the 512 and the 1028, and I'd muscle test and found that the person weakened with those frequencies, so that the body really was not resonating with those higher frequencies in the fundamentals.
Uh-huh. So you were playing that note of B, but you were checking that the higher frequency, the harmonic of that note is not what they necessarily needed.
Right.
They needed that fundamental note.
Correct.
Yes.
The body didn't seem to recognize the higher frequency.
Yes. And of course, we don't know why that is. It could just be they weren't ready for the higher frequency.
Exactly, that could be.
Yeah, because you you were talking earlier about the yeast cells, that when they were sick, they vibrated at a much lower level.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And so, again, jumping someone up to a very high frequency may not be in their best interest.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the body needs to recognize those fundamentals first before it can move up to higher and higher frequencies.
Yes.
Which also represents higher and higher frequencies of consciousness.
Yes, that's right. So frequencies just keep getting higher and higher and higher, but you can't necessarily take a leap directly there.
No, we can't.
You know, we've got to actually, the whole body, emotions, mind has to be prepared to take higher frequencies.
Yes.
Yes. So now it's interesting, because in resonance repatterning, of course, we use many sound modalities, cheating forks, of course, and we use those on Jin Shin points and acupuncture points and the cranial bones. Now, so in terms of you using them on the spine, once we hear about that, I'm really looking forward to incorporating this into our database of modalities, too, because, you know, we all know that the spine is there and it's the most important. But let's just talk a bit about using the tuning forks on the spine.
Okay. Well, I find out, whatever they present the problems with. For example, if somebody has a headache and cervical tension, I'll use tuning forks specifically on the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I vibrate the tuning fork, and I hold it directly onto the bone for approximately 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll usually repeat that two other times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll muscle test, and if they're muscle testing weak, their body is needing more of the stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And if they muscle test strong, their body's saying, okay, we've had enough, we're tuned up, we're toned in. So.
Yes. And muscle checking, for those, we talk a lot about muscle checking because I do repatterning many times, but again, we're just checking on the on-off, the strong, relaxed response of a muscle that is, all our muscles are connected to the autonomic nervous system, which is really mediates what we need for our health, well-being, and survival.
Uh-huh.
So we can then use that muscle on-off response to find out what we need. Yes.
Yes.
So what we're seeing then is that basically sickness, whether physical, emotional, mental, is a loss of rhythm and tone. And now in resonance repatterning, we work a lot with entrainment, which means bringing our frequencies into sync or back into rhythm with each other, so we can then attract or resonate with what is in sync and harmonious in life. So, June, how do you see sound as being able to bring us back into sync, into rhythm with what is harmonious in life?
Okay. There's many ways. Like as you were talking about before, Chloe, toning.
Mm-hmm.
Different toning, and toning can be done with vowel sounds. And I just want to talk a little bit about chanting, which began back in a Benedictine monastery. And there were Gregorian chants that were sung for many, many hours during the day. And what happened was they were told to stop chanting, the monks. And all of a sudden they started displaying depression when the chanting stopped. And all these people were brought in to find out, and all these studies were brought in to find out what caused this depression. And they thought, well, maybe it was their lack of sleep, because the monks were only sleeping 3 hours a day, so they increased the hours of sleep, they changed their diet, and nothing seemed to work. And then they brought in Tomatis, Alfred Tomatis, who we can go into later, but Alfred Tomatis, who is an otolaryngologist, and he has many different centers all over the world. Anyway, he discovered that it was the toning and the chanting that really, was able to keep them in a much happier state. So he says, well, why don't you just bring back the chanting?
Yes.
Why don't you bring back the toning for the monks? And they did, and the depression had ceased.
Very fascinating, isn't it, that story? Because they got this modern abbot who decided that all this 8 hours of singing was old-fashioned.
Right.
And so he abolished it, and bingo, they all became depressed, couldn't get out of their cells, couldn't move. I mean, deeply depressed. Yeah, so very interesting.
Uh-huh. And And what sound really, what sound does, what I found that sound does, is it really, it helps with the autonomic nervous system, the nervous system. It helps to bring that back into balance.
Yes.
It helps to slow down our heart rate if it's too fast, or speed it up if it's too slow. It relaxes our breath. It de-stresses our body. It helps to decrease the stress hormones such as cortisol, and helps to increase hormones such as endorphins that help have a sense for our well-being. It changes our brain, our wave brain state patterns. So all of this sound can do and bring our bodies physiologically, emotionally, mentally, all back into a more harmonic, aligned state with the cosmos.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how little we sing or tone, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And just in humming, when you know, just humming can change our whole state.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is very important, and certainly I've got a book that I use in all classes, our modalities book, which I'm going to actually be publishing for the general public. But I go into that in all the different sounds we can use, the humming, the singing, the toning, the harmonic overtoning, the tuning forks. There are just so many different sounds, and that you can literally muscle check which sound you need. And, you know, it's what is fascinating to me is in tribal societies, or simple societies, you could say, singing is something they do all the time.
Yeah, it's just so part of their culture.
Yeah.
There's no separation.
When I go to India, when you go to a bus stop, they're just simply sitting in the bus waiting for a leave, and they're all singing.
You know, I was so taken by this when I traveled through Turkey. I was not on a tour bus, and there were just a lot of young Turkish men just traveling, and
yes,
the whole village, Chloe, would come on out with their instruments and dance and sing for their journey.
Oh.
And it was just so heartwarming.
Isn't it wonderful?
See that.
Wonderful.
So,
yes,
you know, it was just so part of a lot of culture's life.
That's
and
right.
And we lost that.
Yes. Yes, so it's time to get that back, isn't it,
mm-hmm,
into our life. And, of course, you see it with children. Children are always singing. They never do anything unless they're singing or humming a tune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yes, that they're keeping themselves tuned.
Right.
So
it's
that,
just so natural.
Yeah. So it looks like this is something we have to just rediscover for ourselves.
Exactly, yes.
And, you know, whether it's muscle checking a note or just singing a song,
mm-hmm,
very important. Now, June, you mentioned in your book that sounds are created by the bones of the cranium and the skull rather than just by the mouth. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that one.
Okay. Well, basically, sound vibrations are transformed into electrical nerve impulses by the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And these nerve impulses are sent to the brain. And at that time, sound causes the temporal bones of the skull to vibrate.
Mm.
And then this fluid surrounding the brain, so that fluid in turn starts vibrating too.
Mm.
And that fluid, the sphenoid bone, which connects to all other bones in the skull, holds the pituitary gland. And of course, the pituitary is one of the master glands that has many different hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And the fluid then vibrates, and it causes the sphenoid bone to kind of flap their wings.
Mm.
And in turn, this stimulates the pituitary gland to secrete certain hormones that affects our entire body.
Mm.
So, as we can say, sound is not only heard, but it also stimulates hormonal responses.
Mm. And so, and then this vibration then is what is connected to the minuscule expansion and relaxation of the cranial bones?
Yes. Well, the cranial bones are just beautiful. It's a beautiful area to resonate. There's a lot of hollow spaces there.
Mm-hmm.
And so sound gets really amplified and resonates beautifully in our skull,
mm-hmm,
and our bones.
Mm-hmm. So this is very fascinating then, that the hollow spaces in the cranial bones are really amplifying the sound and sending it throughout all the bones of the body.
Exactly.
Well, after the next break, we will come back and talk some more. Okay.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Manifest your personal and professional dream by honoring your true genius and magnificence. On DeMartini, Live and Inspired, host Dr. John F. DeMartini shares his enlightening perspectives, humorous observations of human nature, and practical action steps to live a truly inspired, purposeful, and fulfilling life. His scope of knowledge and experience is a culmination of 34 years of research and studies. Dr. DeMartini's trailblazing philosophy and revolutionary understanding is reshaping modern psychology and business and changing the lives of millions. Broadcasting each week as a special program on the Seventh Wave Network, DeMartini, Live and Inspired, transforms thought and stimulates action. Get ready to break through to live an amazing life.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings, and the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. If you want to create positive change, call Chloe now at 866-472-5795. That toll-free number again is 866-472-5795. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
So, June, we were talking then about how sound is transformed into nerve impulses, which is sent from the ear to the brain, and then this causes vibrations in the cerebral spinal fluid, which causes the sphenoid bone, this little kind of, butterfly-shaped bone,
yes,
isn't it, to actually move its wings. I imagine it must be a very minuscule movement of the wings of the sphenoids.
Yeah.
And then that holds the pituitary, which is the master gland of the body. So you've got some massive vibration going on then through all the sounds coming from our ears.
Correct.
Yeah, anything else you want to say about that?
Yes, basically I wanted to talk about the vagus nerve, which is our longest nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And it connects directly with the ear. And the vagus nerve actually controls many of the autonomic parasympathetic functions. It actually affects our tongue, the larynx, the pharynx, the vocal cords. It affects the heart, the lungs. It affects our diaphragm and all our internal organs and the entire digestive tract.
Wow.
Yes. So when the vagus nerve gets stimulated, it actually, there's this whole physiological reaction that happens. And actually, one can say that, the vagus nerve is really responsible for our gut reaction.
Mm.
So when sound activates vagus nerve, sometimes we get reactions in our gut, and that's directly from the vagus nerve being stimulated by sound.
That's interesting. So now, and the vagus nerve then is the cranial nerve.
Yes, it's one of the...
And so it is stimulated because it's connected to the ear.
Mm-hmm. Well, it connects directly. Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Goodness, that really... So then what I'm hearing here... that if you're taking in very low frequency or non-coherent sounds, that's also going to activate the vagus nerve in a negative way.
Yes.
So it's about what kind of sounds are we taking in.
Mm-hmm. And often we don't hear a lot of those sounds, unfortunately.
That's right. Yes. So really then, with these healing sounds, taking in coherent sounds that we muscle check the person needs, mm-hmm. That's going to activate all of this in a very positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tomati's talked about something about sounds at about 2,000 hertz. Have you read about that?
Briefly, basically.
Yes, that is
the vocal range.
That's in the vocal range?
Yes.
That those are the therapeutic healing sounds.
Therapeutic and, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We can create that within our own voice.
So the voice is the most powerful instrument of all.
I think so.
Yeah. So now what we're seeing here, that sound is amplified by bone, by cartilage, and even, I've heard, by toned muscles, which it sounds like is another good reason to stay in shape, that all of this amplifies positive frequencies.
Yeah.
So it seems that resonance is what creates the healing effect. And can you share what this resonance means?
Okay, resonance is to echo and return to sound. So when I discovered and these might not be the exact frequencies, who knows? We might discover, more optimal frequencies for the bones. But mm-hmm. this is what I was able to come up with after 7 years of my research. So each bone has its home tone that it resonates with.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we bring these home tones back to each of these bones, there is a frequency that it resonates with, it recognizes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you tune up the spine, it creates a harmonics. These 12 tones create a harmonic, and we can talk more about that after a standing wave.
Mm-hmm.
But
So when you're talking about each bone, you're talking about each bone of the spine.
Yes.
Yes. And probably each bone of the body.
Yeah, of course.
But the spine, why do you feel the spine then is the most important?
It's the central axis of everything. It's where all our nerves come out through.
Yeah.
So you're affecting, you're affecting neurologically the whole system.
Yep. Fascinating. Well, maybe why don't we, because I don't want to run out of time before we really get into the spine.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we get into this right now?
Okay.
That each bone then has its own tone, its own fundamental note, basically,
mm-hmm.
that it recognizes. And so talk about your discovery and what you did in all your 7 years of research.
Okay. Well, I was very aware of a technique called applied kinesiology that uses muscle testing
mm-hmm.
as a tool to diagnose and treat. And then in the late 90s, I studied what was holographic repatterning, Chloe, mm-hmm. now resonance repatterning. And there were tuning forks that were used in this approach.
Yeah.
So I heard the spine sing. Quotes, I heard the spine sing. And it was in a very specific octave that I'd always hear spine singing in.
Ah.
And so having these 12 tuning forks from your class,
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I know muscle testing and muscle checking. I can take each one of these tuning forks and do muscle checking and see if the body resonates with these tones.
Yes.
And so I muscle checked over 3,000 individuals. And I went with 12 tuning forks on each one of the bones, and consistently I'd get a very strong response with only one of the tuning forks.
Mm-hmm.
After checking out thousands of individuals, I said, okay, this must be the frequency this bone resonates with,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. I would go each bone and test out again several thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really interesting, Chloe, was that it correlated and corresponded to the 12 tones in an octave.
Yeah.
So each bone correlated to a specific semitone of a complete octave.
Mm.
And so the spine sang, the song is one octave below middle C.
Mm.
And everyone's spine sang the same song.
Ah.
So that's also how it came up with the title. It wasn't pluralized, but all the spines that I found sang the same song.
Yes. So basically, for those who are not particularly musically, into, they're not musicians, then you've got the note of C, D, E, F, G, A, B. Those are seven notes. And then you've got the sharps, the semitones, C sharp, D sharp, F sharp, G sharp, and A sharp. So the 7 plus the 5 equals 12. And what notes did you find then? So you've got your seven vertebrae of the neck.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna retract a little bit back here. And
okay.
Because I was having some problems with doing my research, saying, okay, there's seven notes to a scale. How do I correspond these 12 vertebrae to the seven notes of an octave?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't quite work out well. And then one day I had this gentle giant on my chiropractic table who was also a musician. And I was telling him my story of doing my research, and I said, Cliff, I said, well, there are these seven tones to an octave, and actually eight, but the last note is repeated of the first.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, have you tried the sharps? And so my body, I just leaped up into the air, and I said, that was the five.
That's interesting.
That was
you didn't even think
five.
Of the sharp.
No, I didn't even think of it. I was just...
You were really stuck on those...
I was stuck on those white tones, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the sharps or the flats, which are, you know, however you want to say it, the sharps.
Yes.
You know, that was the missing piece.
Yes. So then you still had to correlate those to the spine.
Right.
So, again, for people who are not anatomically informed, you've got then your neck vertebra.
Right. And so here there's two spinal curves that we have. Mm. Our primary curve, which is our thoracic curve, and that's the curve we're born with, where it enables us to fit in the womb.
Uh-huh.
So as the child begins, the baby begins to crawl, sit, stand, walk. We've got two secondary curves that develop within the spine, which is the cervical and the lumbar. Those are our secondary lordotic curves.
Mm-hmm.
So the lordotic curve, which is cervical and lumbar, have 12 vertebrae too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our primary or kyphotic curve, the thoracic, that has your 12 vertebrae,
mm-hmm.
which creates one type of curve.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other type of curve, which is going in the opposition to your primary curve, the secondary curve, cervical and lordotic, repeats those same 12 tones.
Even though the cervicals of the neck are separate from the lumbar at
right.
the base of the spine, but they're connected to each other in that they are the secondary curve that developed.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
And so what happens, you have the thoracic spine singing these harmonies when you get it tuned up to the song of the spine, and then it creates a standing wave within these curves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is standing wave, shall I talk about that?
These do, yes.
Okay. So a standing wave is basically, if you have, like, for example, a fixed string on a violin, mm-hmm. and then you go to vibrate that string, so what happens is you get these interference of waves that come over the original wave, and it creates a pattern. And it doesn't seem like the wave is moving, so it's called a standing wave.
Mm-hmm.
And these standing waves are what gives these instruments their signature sound. It's
mm-hmm.
what makes a cello sound like a cello, a violin sound like a violin.
Mm.
And so our bodies too have standing waves from the cerebral spinal fluid to our heartbeat, and also the spinal curves and the tones in the bones create the standing wave of harmonics.
Amazing. After the break, let's come back and talk more about the notes of the spine.
Okay.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher.
Is the key to life more than just another technique? In Chloe Wordsworth's new book, Quantum Change Made Easy, she shows that what you resonate with is the key to all positive change, self-healing, and achieving the best of who you are. Chloe introduces you to the 9 keys of the Resonance Repatterning System for harmonizing your energy and turning your problems into joy. You can order Quantum Change Made Easy at Amazon.com or your local bookstore. To have a session, go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for certified practitioners. You can also learn to do sessions on yourself by attending Resonance Repatterning seminars. Experience the magic of helping yourself and others with a system that combines scientific and spiritual principles. Go to ResonanceRepatterning.net for seminars, practitioners, and self-healing products. Listen to Chloe on the Seventh Wave Network every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Learn to fly. You are the teacher. Learn to trust your wings. And the rest will follow after.
You're listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy with your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth. If you want to create positive change, call Chloe now at 866-472-5795. That toll-free number again is 866-472-5795. Now back to the program. Here's Chloe.
All right, so we're talking with Dr. June here on this amazing discovery of the notes that relate to each of the vertebrae of the spine, and that this tuning the spine then creates these standing waves that we can't actually hear, but it gives us our quality of who we are, right?
Correct.
Okay, so a flute sounds like a flute and a violin sounds like a violin because what, they have different standing waves interfering with each other?
Yes, there's different waves that are there, yeah. And so our species as humans, we have our own standing wave and
yes,
our own signature sound.
All right. So now tell us then what are the primary curve is in the thoracic, and what were the 12 notes that related to those 12 thoracic vertebra?
Well, it starts below middle C, and it starts from C, and then it goes to B, and then you've got your five black keys.
Yeah. So basically, the first seven thoracics will be C, D, E, F, G, A, B. And then the last five of the thoracics will be C-sharp, D-sharp, F-sharp, G-sharp, and A-sharp.
There you go.
And then you've got the second curve, and the first seven of that is in the cervical vertebra of the neck, right?
Correct, yes.
And that, I take it, will be C through B again.
Exactly, and then it repeats the same five sharps at the lumbar curve.
Fascinating. Now, the sacrum and the coccyx, they don't have any notes?
I'm sure they do, but what I just did was a 24 movable vertebra.
These are the movable vertebra.
Yes.
So, June, what results now, because you did 7 years of research and you had thousands of patients, what results did you see from tuning the spine in this way?
Well, I'm going to give an interesting case history of a client who came in with multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And she had bilateral numbness of her hands. And so that was her major complaint. She couldn't really feel. And so I did some bone toning on some cervical vertebras, and I actually did some bone toning on her wrist. And in about 10, 15 seconds, she actually got feelings back in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I repeated this several times a week. Mm-hmm. And for many, many months, she was actually able to feel completely with her hands until she went to a medical doctor who gave her antibiotics. And that shut down the process again.
Yeah.
I've had some good success with fibromyalgia, inflammation,
And some multiple sclerosis cases and pain, headaches. Mm-hmm. But not every case was completely successful.
No.
So.
No. But it's important to tune the spine for whatever reason.
Yes.
So that it will then support the healing process, even if it's not the miracle cure.
Right. Like,
yes.
Bones start losing their tones over time, and some people say to me, well, people have different shaped bones, you know. How could that be the same frequency?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's what we call Wolf's Law is bones grow according to stress.
Mm.
And so that's during our lifetimes. But, you know, we come into this life with certain frequencies, and these frequencies, I believe, are inherent in our system.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, the shapes of our bone change. And through trauma, poor nutrition, stress, our bones lose our tones, which then in turn diminish or exaggerate our spinal curves,
mm-hmm.
which then leads to complete distortion of our nervous system
mm-hmm.
and our structural system.
Mm-hmm.
So toning those bones help bring our spines back into shape, bring the tones back into a bone, help with the spinal curves, which give us flexibility and stability.
Mm. Yes, and of course it's poor nutrition and stress, but also accidents.
Oh, yes, every trauma.
Yeah.
Trauma.
And so in terms of subluxations and things like that, have you noticed a good results?
Oh, yes. Yes. I usually don't do it instead of adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do hands-on adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find is when I tone the bones, it is so much easier because all the surrounding muscles relax.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like the whole nervous system and autonomic nervous system relaxes.
So really what I'm hearing, June, is that it's really important that all of us tune our spine on a regular basis, because if our bones are losing their tone, and this leads to distortions in our nerves and our spinal curves, that this is something really that all of us need, whether we have symptoms or not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Fascinating. Now, one of our listeners in Australia, Jenny, who's a practitioner there, she emailed a question and said, could bone toning support osteoporosis, for instance?
I haven't done any real studies with that, but I really believe it can.
Yes. And again, we're going to be talking more about osteoporosis in the weeks to come, and so stay tuned. But I'm picking up that really we should all be doing bone toning on ourselves on a regular basis
mm-hmm.
in the family.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you eat your food and you have showers, and just for family members to tone their spine.
Bring us back into tune, yeah.
Could just be really important for the whole system.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. So, June, I feel like we're just about to run out of time. Is there anything else you want to say before we end?
Well, what do I want to say?
Keep your spine toned.
But find that voice within, that sound within, and just keep resonating with that.
That's right. And that's really the answer to healing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Wonderful.
And I just want to thank you so much, Chloe, for giving me this opportunity, and I just love your work.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I really appreciate you, because just the opening up this whole possibility that everybody can get their spine singing.
Yes.
I think that's very exciting. And with your permission, I'm going to put your notes into our new modality book and give you credit for it, because I think that what you're talking about is very, very important.
Well, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
So, thank you, Dr. June, for all the good work you're doing and the positive effect you're having. And if you'd like to contact Dr. June and buy her book, Song of the Spine, along with the CD, you can phone her at 760-371-3336, or you can go to her website at songofthespine.com. Now, we're having a special this month through November the 19th. ResonanceRepatterning.net is offering a 10% discount on the highest quality stainless steel tuning forks made in Germany specifically for self-healing purposes. So we have the chakra tuning forks in a beautiful velvet pouch for the notes C, D, E, F, G, A, and B. And that, of course, is for your cervical vertebras and the first seven of the thoracic. And we have the sharps tuning forks, C-sharp through A-sharp, which will be for the lumbar vertebra and the lower thoracics. So you can actually begin to tune up your own spine right now. And you're also welcome to visit our resonancerepathing.net website to see our schedule of classes, and that will teach you the muscle checking tools. So right, even after the first class, you can muscle check exactly what to do with the tuning forks, either on the bone itself or on the edge of the spine. And next week we have a wonderful show, The Healing Power of North Pole Magnets. What are North and South Pole Magnets? Why are they essential to our well-being? And I'll be dialoguing with Dr. Art Cushing, who has used magnets in his clinic for 25 years, discovered their beneficial effects, and how you can use them every day for many, many different systems of things that can stay in balance. Join us next week, same time, same place, The Healing Power of North Pole Magnets. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to Living in Tune. Turn your problems into joy. Join your host, Chloe Faith Wordsworth, next Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network. Today I thought